All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 this morning. I like that song, Haven of Rest. That's good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We talked about it in Sunday school. We're talking about offices and two offices of a church, pastor and deacon. And Mike announced, and we'll be voting next weekend, next Sunday evening. Essentially, in my mind, it's just a recognition of something that's already being done. It's not anything new. It's something that's already happening, and I think we ought to recognize it as a church formally. They did in the Bible anyway. And this, what we're going to read this morning, is kind of what really prompted me to really, I guess, think about doing something like this, have a service, have some time devoted to recognizing folks who are in the ministry, who are laboring in the ministry. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing to go through the Bible the way we're going through the Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book, because when you hit upon a topic, you just deal with the topic. And hopefully, nobody thinks, hey, that preacher's gunning for me or whatever, and you're dealing with me personally. We're just going through the Bible, and when we come upon a subject, you just deal with the subject. And so these couple of verses, I was getting ready to preach on them. Think about Sunday morning and thinking about preaching on these things a couple weeks ago. And it really kind of brought to fruition thoughts about formalizing and recognizing folks that are in the ministry, particularly Alan and Denise, who have already been doing the work of the ministry, and I hopefully just formally recognize it next week. But let's read these verses, and I'll talk to you about, I don't know if it's heroes, I don't know what the good title for this is, but it's folks you look up to and folks you want to take care of in the ministry, folks you want to, let's just read them, and then we'll talk about them. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Let's pray and talk to you this morning about, I guess, heroes, best way to put it. Father, I thank you for your words. Lord, I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for everybody that's here this morning. And I do pray everybody here this morning would get something from you. Lord, thank you for the good singing. That was a blessing. It's a blessing to hear that song, Haven of Rest. And I can't imagine a life without Jesus Christ. I can't imagine a life without the words of God, and just tossed to and fro in the world and beat up emotionally and beat up mentally and just beat up by the world and have no bearing on what is going on or why. I can't imagine it, Lord. I thank you for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us the way you do. And I pray that this morning we'd all get what we need from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is, I think most of you guys would agree. Get this thing situated here. Here we go. You see this nationally when productive people are buried under just government regulation. When you bury productive people, that's socialism. I'll just explain that to you. When you take someone who's being productive, and this is not a political speech, I'm giving you the layout of what we're going to talk about. When a nation takes people who are productive and says, your production doesn't mean anything to us other than give us what you make so we can disperse it among people who are not productive. That's what you would call socialism. When you bury productive people in regulation, in theft, what you do is you destroy the productivity of a country. I say all that to show you in these verses what God has told you and me is there is some production going on in ministry. And you want to be sure not to be like folks who bury people who are productive. You want to take care of where the production is taking place. He said in verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. There's three things I want to show you about these verses. but it has to do with who we look up to, who we esteem, who we preference, who gets honor in a church, who you love. I know you're supposed to love folks and all that stuff, but he specifically says here, you need to pay attention to the productive part of the ministry, and you need to particularly take care of that. And I'm trying to deflect here because I realize this can be a self-serving sermon, and that's not at all what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to point out there are productive folks in the pews here. And we as a church ought to recognize where the production is and take care of that. The same is true, like I said, of a church. The same is true of a nation, when I gave you the illustration. If the majority of a nation decides they want to feed off of the productive part of that nation, do you understand what happens in that nation? The people eventually get tired of working. And the people eventually get tired of being fed off of, and they get demoralized, and what they end up doing is become defensive about what they have instead of generous with what they have. Eventually, they're just trying to protect what they have in order so that other people won't come and steal it. In a ministry, the sociology, those things are also true. If you have folks that enjoy the benefits of the working folks in a ministry, but are not willing to ever participate in the ministry, eventually, you have demoralization. I mean, on a grand scale, if you have it on a big scale, you have folks who get demoralized and get defensive about what they're doing. Paul said, and that's a negative side of this. I want to explain, you see the negative side. Now let's look at what he said. It's positive is what he said. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. First thing is recognize the productive members. And I know every person, if you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved. You have a part in the ministry. You're supposed to have a part in the ministry. The Holy Spirit, God has put His Holy Spirit into you in order that you would be a member, that you would be a part of the body of Christ in some way. Now, between you and the Lord, you know what part you have, hopefully. If you don't know what part you have, it's probably because you're not participating enough to know what work needs to be done. So you don't know what your role is. I'm not trying to be mean about that. I'm just saying, I'm trying to encourage you, get involved so you understand better how the Holy Spirit's going to use you in the ministry. You need to get more involved in it so you understand how the Lord can use you in it. Recognize the productive folks. That's what he says. Beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Jesus Christ said this. He said to the disciples one time, he said, the harvest is plenteous, I think is how he said it. The laborers are what? Few. There's a small number of them. But then the solution to that is what? Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field. So pray that the Lord would send people out into the field. He recognized that the laboring few, there would be few laboring. I'll give you a few things that are labor. You understand that, I think every one of you understands this. When you sit down to pray, and you start to pray, and maybe you got a list or however it works, maybe however it works with you. When you sit down to pray, you know immediately that prayer is work. You learn that immediately. Why? Because immediately you sit down to pray and you start thinking about something else. And you sit down to pray and it takes all of your concentration to focus on, okay, I need to be praying for this. I need to pray. Wait, that's my favorite song on. Oh, wait a minute, there's this TV show coming on. You learn immediately that prayer is labor. You find that Jesus Christ told the disciples one time, he told Peter, James, and John, they're in the garden getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus Christ getting ready to go to the cross. And he says, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. And he goes away, Jesus Christ prays, and he comes back, and what are they doing? They're sleeping. You learn that prayer is labor. It's work. And it requires focus, and it requires time. And there are folks here that labor in the ministry of prayer. They take their time to do it. They take their energy to do it, and they focus. And, that's why I love praying with you guys on Wednesdays, because it helps me focus. It helps me. I love I can get up in the morning, I can walk around, I can pray when I'm walking around and thinking and walk outside and all that stuff. That's good. I love praying with the guys because it helps me think about what we're praying about, and it helps me focus on what's being prayed about. Prayer is labor. Here's another thing that's labor. Some of you guys have done this. You ever had to prepare a Sunday school lesson? You know what that is? That's work. That takes work. That takes time. That takes effort. That takes energy. And I guarantee you, anyone who thinks they can just, well, there are probably some people that can do this, but just show up and just say something and say, well, it works for me. I guarantee you, it doesn't work as well as you think it's working. Well, I just show up and open my Bible and it just comes out. Well, you may think that something's happening, but I guarantee you probably not much is going on. It's labor to dig in, to get a lesson together, and we have some good Sunday school teachers who do that. I love walking back there in the fellowship hall to look at Denise's room, to look at Nancy's room, to look at Nikki and Shirley's room, see all the posters, see all the stuff, see all the paper mache stuff on Denise's room. You know what that tells me? Someone has put some effort into this. And someone cares about these children. And someone cares that these kids grow up with the Bible implanted in their heart so they know at least when they have an opportunity, maybe the Holy Spirit can bring some things to remembrance in their lives, but spend time putting the words of God into the hearts and minds of kids. Preparing lessons is labor. It's work. And a lot of you guys have done it before, and you know it. You know it takes time to do something that's worth the nourishment. It takes time to prepare a good meal. Public ministry, tracts, preaching, visitation. You know what that is? That's labor. It's labor. And you know it's labor because sometimes you don't want to spend time doing that. And sometimes I don't. The point is, there are things that are labor that go on, and God said, look, you need to recognize some of the productive places in the ministry and make sure you take care of those productive places in the ministry and make sure the church doesn't just become a social club where people just show up, hang out, and then we all go home and pat ourselves on the back for being Christians. The point is, take care of the productive places in the ministry and be a part of the productive places in the ministry. You understand the labor, it's a simple, I guess, principle. The labor force, it's practical in the world even. The labor force determines what gets done. Where the work is getting done determines, the people doing the work determine what's getting done. Laborers are sent where they're needed. The Lord arranges all that stuff. The Bible says, like I said earlier, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into his field, and he does that. I think about every time in Acts, somebody is sent somewhere. You've got these guys preaching all over the place because there's a need all over the place to preach everywhere. But then they go to specific places because sometimes somebody's praying for a need. We need some help here. And so Paul will have a dream about something, or he'll be directed by the Holy Spirit to go to a specific place and stay there and minister there because God's directing the labor of where it needs to be. Laborers are sent where they're needed. Recognize the productive members. That's the first point. Recognize the productive members. The second thing is this. Respect the workers doing the work. The Bible says in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their what? What does it say? What does it say? Anybody read it? For their work's sake. You esteem them highly for their work's sake. Here's what you don't esteem them for. Because this is where folks sometimes get in trouble. You don't esteem them for their checkbook. And I guarantee you, people who want to be esteemed for their checkbook will let you know how big the check they're writing is. They will let you know how big that check is. And the purpose is that they will be in high regard and there will be some strings attached with that. You know what the Bible says? You need to esteem people for their labor's sake. You don't buy into this like Simon the sorcerer tried to in Acts. You don't buy into the Holy Spirit of God with Simon the sorcerer is watching these apostles and they lay their hands on the folks and the folks are receiving the Holy Spirit and things are happening in the book of Acts. And Simon says, hey, how much does that cost? You got some church members who think like that. How much does that cost? You don't esteem them for their money. You don't esteem them. Here's one. You don't esteem them for their tenure. You get the folks saying, somebody shows up and somebody says, I've been through the last 10 preachers and I'll be through this one. Maybe you're the problem. The point is, God gives you a specific instruction. Here's where you recognize people. Not their checkbook, not their tenure, not their family name. The Levites, That priesthood was a priesthood because they were all Levites. Some of those people who operated in that priesthood, the only qualification they had to do anything for God was their name, Levite. They had no spiritual qualifications at all to be doing anything for God. The point is, you don't recognize them for their paycheck, for their checkbook. You don't recognize them for their tenure. You don't recognize them for a family. I mean, we go knocking on doors, and folks inevitably, I used to always get this at the rig too. You start witnessing to somebody, and he says or she says, and they say, "Oh yeah, my uncle is a deacon." Okay, what about you? It doesn't matter what your uncle does, or your dad's a pastor, or your mom's a whatever, or your uncle's a pastor, or your brother's a pastor, or your whatever. The family name doesn't carry over with God. It's the work's sake, is what he's saying. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. A critic may say, you know, we should not respect one person over another. You're not respecting the person, you're respecting the work the person is doing. It's not the person, it's the work that they are willing to put out, they're willing to do. At least respect that. What you find out in the world, and it creeps into churches. The Bible says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God." You find the reverse of that is true. That which is highly esteemed among God is an abomination to men. What God likes, the world couldn't care less about. I know I talked about it last week, and it's something I think about regularly as a church, as a ministry. How do you get in front of people's lives so that they recognize the need they have for Jesus Christ? I mean, they have no esteem for the things of God, no idea why the things of God have any relationship to them, and yet we're called to preach the words of God, publicize, proclaim all those things, get the words of God out, and sometimes you feel like it's falling on deaf ears, and it's because sometimes it is. Now within a church, he says, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. What? Esteem the ones doing the work. Critic says, well, we shouldn't respect one person. Again, it's not the person, it's the work they're doing. He said, esteem them highly for their work's sake. It is a great and healthy thing when God's flock holds in high regard the same things God holds in high regard. When a flock says, you know what, Lord, you highly esteem that, we highly esteem that too. We recognize that and we want to honor that or esteem that, however you want to put it. I mean, we are on the same page with the Lord. God's recommendation to a church, hold the people contributing to the ministry in high regard. And I'd say a healthy church takes care of its laborers. And you guys understand, I think some of you guys run businesses and you understand. You know, if you don't have, I say you don't have the right people. The right people are the people doing the right things. That makes the right people. You can't afford, I remember learning this, I was in the, you know, managing these facilities in the oil field and all that stuff, and I realized early on, I can't afford to have the wrong people. I can't afford it. And the wrong people are the people who won't do the work. But the people who will do the work, boy, you don't want to let them go. If these guys, and nowadays, I mean, if you'll show up on time, if I don't have to watch everything you do, if I don't get phone calls every hour of every day because some little thing's going on, I mean, if you can just take care of it, man, I don't want you to go anywhere. I will give you whatever raise we can give you, man. I want you to stay. The right people are the ones doing the right job. The point is, you recognize that in a business situation. You ought to recognize that in a ministry situation. And again, it's not about the people. It's about the work that's getting done. For their work's sake, he said. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. Not their tenure. Not their money. Not their name. And I'm sure there's others we could say not to. But you get the point. To contrast all that, it is a nail in the coffin of a local church when they begin to recognize people based on money, when they begin to recognize people for any other reason than what God said, recognize them for this. Boy, you just put the nail in the coffin. Point is, do it God's way. It's the nail in a coffin when a nation begins to destroy the people who are productive in the nation. And the same goes for ministry. You know, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. I was looking in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 is where you could say the deacons get... recognized. And it's interesting, you read Acts chapter 6, you read Acts chapter 7, you read Acts chapter 8, and the growth of a church, I mentioned it in Sunday school and I'll talk about it some more, but Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8 follows the work of early church there, the deacons in the early church. Folks who are already doing the work, and then the church recognizes those folks doing the work, and then the work multiplies exponentially. You got Philip in Acts chapter 8. I thought, well, that must be Philip the apostle. That's not Philip the apostle, that's Philip the deacon. Stephen, the first martyr, Stephen the deacon. The point is, it is a very fruitful time in the life of a church. It's a very healthy thing for a church to recognize folks. And I'm not talking about just having a vote next week. I'm talking about as a general environment and a culture of a church where the work is being recognized by the folks who are doing the work. Lastly is this. You reap the benefits of taking care of the productive forces, the productive folks. He says in verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, peace is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. You got love, joy, peace, all those things. Peace is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is cultivated. And it takes labor to cultivate fruit. If you had a garden, you know, a garden doesn't just show up. Weeds show up. And weeds grow without any help at all. But if you're going to be fruitful, that's going to take work. Peace is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. He said, be at peace among yourselves. That fruit is cultivated. Part of the labor here is helping that fruit be cultivated. And when you can help the fruit be cultivated, you know what you can do? You can enjoy the fruit. If you can help the fruit get cultivated and help the fruit get produced, you can enjoy the benefits of the fruit. The fruit doesn't just show up. It has to be worked for, and you have to have laborers in the field working to produce the fruit. And when that fruit is produced, if you've participated in that, you know what? You get the joy of participating and enjoying the fruit of that labor. So here's a real theological point. Part of the labor is just not being a troublemaker. Don't spoil the fruit. Don't get in the way of the fruit. I remember years ago, and I'll wrap it up with this. Well, let me say it this way before I tell you this story. You know, when the labor, just think about it this way. When the labor is supported, there is fruit to enjoy. When the labor is supported, there's fruit to enjoy. Now, all that said, talking about esteeming those that labor among you and all that kind of thing, that's, you can tell, I guess, where I'm thinking here with doing the having a good service and just recognizing somebody who's been doing the work. I remember as a kid, we went to multiple football camps, and remember meeting guys, you know, NFL guys and all that, meeting guys on the UT football team, and I was just like in sixth or seventh grade. And I was, I guess like anybody, you're just kind of starstruck. It's kind of cool to know people who have been in that kind of spotlight, you know. We got to meet several guys. I remember my mom even got to be the photographer because, I don't know if you, some of you are old enough to know Earl Campbell. Anyway, he was, he didn't have a photographer that year, so she got to be the photographer and all that. And anyway, it was cool. And it was cool going to these camps. We go to these camps and I'd go to, I remember going to a UT football camp and seeing some guys in the locker room that I had seen from other camps, some of the football players. And it was kind of cool. You'd get to, you think you know them, all that kind of thing. And a little bit of celebrity, you know, I don't know. You understand. I remember getting saved, and I remember my heroes started to change. When I really started getting serious about the Lord, the people that could throw a football weren't as important as the people who risked their lives to go to China or Vietnam to serve the Lord. And my heroes started to change and become people who were in the workforce, God's workforce. And I looked up to pastors and I looked up to missionaries. And I mean, you find that we're all people, but those are the people that you respect and you esteem them. And you don't esteem people anymore, I guess, for their talent, but as you get older in general, you esteem them for their character. And you start watching their character, I don't know, I did. My heroes really changed. And I think they changed in a good way. You know, when he says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. I think the Lord, I don't know how else to put it, but these are the folks you ought to look up to. The folks doing the work. The folks that are involved in ministry, the folks that have given their lives to what the Lord's doing, and then you reap the benefits. You know, when, like I said, when the labor is supported, there is fruit to enjoy. Boy, but when the labor gets crushed, man, it's hard to find fruit. But when the labor is supported, man, the fruit, there is fruit to enjoy. You reap the benefits of it. I know next week we'll talk some more about it next week, but we'll have a vote on Alan. But I'm talking about not just that time period. I think a healthy church, us as a healthy church, respect the labor as a culture. As a congregation, you respect the labor, and you try to encourage the labor and find out where you can be a part of the labor. What's your part in it? Like I started out with this, and I want to remind you of it. If you're saved, you have a part in the ministry. You have some part in the ministry. And if you don't know what that part is, probably it's because you don't know enough about what's going on to know what needs to be done. I suggest and I encourage you, get involved and be a part of the labor that's going on. Don't be a spectator. Be a part of the labor that's going on. And encourage the laborers in their labor. Like he said, you've read the verses, we've read it 3 or 4 times now. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Be a part of the labor. Encourage the work. Let's not, and I don't think we are, and I'm not saying this because I think, I'm just trying to preach the verses to you. The difference would be if a church would get together, ignore the labor, and just become a social club. And we call ourselves Christians, and we hang out together, and we pat ourselves on the back because we're Christians, but there's no fruit. There's nothing to show for what's being done. There's no garden to say, yeah, man, we got some carrots this year. We got some watermelon this year. We got some apples this year. We got some oranges this year. We didn't get anything. We just got together. We hung out. Don't have any fruit to show for it. But hey, we're a church. God forbid that we would become that. Let's be productive. And if you're not being productive, figure out where you can be productive. Participate in the ministry. And help those that are participating participate. Again, remember, I've said it a couple times, but just remember it. When the labor is supported, there's fruit to enjoy. When the labor's supported,